Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, the host of Live with Passion. So glad you found the program. Glad that you're here because I want to talk about a different spirit. As believers, we have a different heart, a different attitude, a different spirit than the rest of the world. Let me share with you from the book of Numbers, chapter 14. And this is God speaking. He said, "My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." I love that. Here's the story. The Hebrews had journeyed out of Egypt, and they are now crossing the Jordan and about to come into the promised land. So they sent spies into the promised land, and the spies came back. They only sent 12. And the spies came back, and 10 of them had this very evil report. They said, the land is great, and they came back with grapes, and it looked beautiful, and they were saying the land is fruitful, and it's a wonderful place. However, there are giants in the land, and they are big. I don't think we can conquer them. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. But two of the 12, Joshua and Caleb, said, we are well able to conquer the land. And so, when they finally did go into the promised land, and we never hear from those 10, they fade away. But Joshua and Caleb were leaders. And the reason why they were leaders is because they believed in God. They trusted God. And as we just heard from the book of Numbers, Caleb had a different spirit. I love that. Because as I look at people in the world, there's a lot of people that are negative and a lot of people that are down and a lot of unbelievers, as we know. But we are different. I love what it says in 1 Peter. It says that we have been called out. That's what the word church means, ecclesia, those who are called out of darkness into God's marvelous light to proclaim the goodness of God. So the church, the believers, the body of Christ, we are different. We're not the same as. We're uncommon. We're not like the rest of the world. We are different. We've been called out. We don't have the same attitude. We're believers. We trust in God. And I love that attitude that Caleb had. Yeah, there's big people over there. Yeah, there's giants. Yeah, we don't have all the resources and everything, but what we do have is we have God on our side, and we are well able. We are well able when we face life because God is able. God can do all things. Paul, when he writes the Ephesians and he talks about prayer, says, God is well able to do more than we can ever dare to ask, think, or imagine. That's the God I know, and hopefully the God you know too. All you have to do is look at creation. Look at the stars. Look at the mountains. Look at all the 7.5 billion people on the face of the earth. God has done amazing things. And so have a different spirit. Don't just look at the world. Don't look at the way people are. Focus on your faith. Focus on believers. And by the way, Caleb, when he was 85 years old, and finally they did come into the promised land, they're parceling out the promised land to all the different people. You know what Caleb said? He said, when he was asked about what land he wanted, he said, "Give me a mountain." I love that. In other words, he was saying at age 85, he was saying, give me a challenge. Give me something that's going to force me to grow. And that's exactly what the challenges, the mountains, the hardships, the difficulties do in our life. The giants, if you will, David, ask David about that. The giants of our life, the difficulties of our life, they stretch us. Challenges make us grow. One thing happened to me I ran into some problems with my knee. You know, I'm an avid golfer and I like to run. And I ended up having to have surgery. And it was devastating for me because I've always been athletic and very mobile and running around all the time. Well, finally it caught up with me, and a few years ago, about 5 years ago, I had to have a partial knee replacement. Devastated me. It was perhaps the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life. And I remember when I had that surgery and I started rehabbing after, they told me that there were some things I had to cut out, like running. It wouldn't be good for me anymore. And so I'd be driving in a car and I'd be watching people running along the side of the road, you know, young people. And I'd start to feel self-pity. And I'd start to feel down and I'd start to feel awful about the whole thing. And then I heard a voice that said, "Cedric," and I believe it was the voice of God deep within me. And I heard a voice that said, "Cedric, don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on what you can do." And I say that to you right now. Maybe you're going through some self-pity about your body, about some things in your life, about the way things used to be and it isn't anymore. It could be even your memory. Don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on what you can do. And that was such an inspiration for me because really, I can do pretty much everything. I walk great, work out at the elliptical. I do swimming. I bike. I do all kinds of different things. There's just a few things I can't do, such as running, basketball, a few things like that. I still play golf. I still do all kinds of other things. So, you know, there's two people in life that are 100% right. Those who say they can, and those who say they can't. And which one are you? And I want to be a can-do person because I believe that challenges can actually make you a champion. So what I've done is I've rehabbed, and then I've rehabbed some more, and then I've worked out. And then you know what? I got to like working out. The elliptical, the treadmill, the bike, the weights, and the swimming. And whenever I'm working out, sometimes I'll be in the midst of a workout, you know, working on the elliptical, and it's really hard. And you know that voice that'll say, "Well, why don't you just relax and stop?" Whenever that happens, I up the resistance. It's like, shut up, negativity. You know, I like being made stronger. I like being made tougher. And that's exactly what has happened. My working out, all because of the affliction that happened with my knee, has actually made me tough. And I call it the toughness of faith. You see, when you have challenges in life, if you face your challenges, you'll be surprised at what you can do. Like Caleb, you can face your giants. Like David, you can face your giants. Like Jesus, you can face the cross and be victorious. And you don't have to run. So actually now, I've developed a new toughness. I call it the toughness of faith. And when you have faith in God, you can be tough, because the power that created the universe lives in you. If the Spirit, this is right from the Bible, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will raise you from the dead. So you can experience resurrection through the Holy Spirit even now. You can face your tough challenges, you can face your hard situations, and you can be more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. So I've become tough. I'm willing to take on the TV challenge, to write books, to travel around the country preaching. I want you to develop your potential. So in the Bible, it's interesting, Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh and he wanted it taken away. And he found out that God's grace, God's power, God's presence was sufficient for him. And it is. And so Paul faced his challenges, the shipwrecks, the stonings, the beatings, eventually his own martyrdom, and the fruit that he bore. What a life. He realized his potential. Moses was a stutterer, but yet he led the Hebrew people into the promised land, or at least on the way to the promised land, out of slavery, even though he stuttered, even though he had his inadequacy and his, quote, handicap, his disablement, he was able to do it. And then Jeremiah thought he was too young, but he became one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. If you ever read any of the book of Jeremiah, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." That comes right from Jeremiah. plans for your welfare, not for your woe. So God used people that were too young, who stuttered, who had a thorn in the flesh, and they faced their giants, their challenges, they overcame, and their challenges made them a champion. I remember when I was in high school, I ended up discovering in front of my classmates as we went around the room reading. I know English very well, and I know how to read, but as I was reading in class, I started for the first time in my life having a panic attack. And I mean, my heart beat really quickly, and I got out of breath, and I couldn't go on. And it was terrible. For the rest of my high school years, and even going into college, I didn't want to read in public, didn't want to speak in public. I didn't even want to be in public. Had a social anxiety disorder, and it was called panic attacks. And then when I get into college, finally God touched my life and called me. Even though I had a panic attack, even though I had panic attacks, God called me to preach. So I've come to understand that I didn't have to run anymore. I had to face my challenges, like Paul, like Jeremiah, like Moses, like David, like Caleb, like so many others. And you're called to do the same thing. Don't run from your challenges. Face your challenges. The only way to overcome fear is to go through. You don't go around, you don't go above, you don't go underneath, you go through. And as you go through the valley of the shadow of darkness, your shepherd is with you. And that's what I've discovered. And that's part of the way that you can come to a personal relationship with God. As you go through, you develop. So I'm still afraid. I still panic every once in a while, but I don't run. David didn't run from his giant, and he was able to conquer Goliath. Caleb didn't run from the challenge, and he entered the promised land. Jeremiah didn't run from the fact that he was young, and he became a great prophet. And Paul didn't run from his thorn in the flesh, and he became, perhaps, arguably, the greatest apostle that ever lived. So don't run from your challenges. Face your challenges. They will stretch you. They will make you tough. They will help you to become all that you can be. And we all have challenges. And when I say that challenges make champions, I mean that they make you a champion in what you can accomplish. I would have never accomplished what I've accomplished in my life had I run from my fears. Same with Paul, same with Caleb, same with David, same with so many other people. And I believe that you have a great potential and a great destiny to fulfill. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. So don't run from it. Some of you are being called to religious life. Some of you are being called to ministry. Well, don't run from it. You will fulfill your potential and eternal destiny if you embrace it. Don't run just because it's hard. Yeah, you'll be stretched, but you'll become all that you can be. That's what it means to live with passion. So I invite you to understand that your challenges can make you accomplish things in life, and then they can help you to have a good attitude. As I said, you know, the challenge of my sickness with my knee, that disease that happened and the knee replacement actually made me tougher, made me fit, made me strong, so that I don't run from the challenges of my life. I face them now. And I don't just give in to self-pity. When I say that challenges make champions, I mean you be a champion in your heart. See, most of the world, they just live in self-pity. They don't believe. They're in darkness. They're not going anywhere. They just say, woe is me. Life is a drudgery. Life is hard. And that's easy to do, but we have, as the scriptures say, a different spirit. We're not like the rest of the world. We're not the same. We're not like them. At one time, we were in darkness, but we were called out of that so that we could proclaim the light of God. That's what the word church means. You are church, a people called out of darkness into God's wonderful life. Ecclesia, you've been called out to proclaim the goodness of God. So I think about something else that happened to me. This challenge has helped make me a champion too. My eyes. Some time ago, I developed this disease in my eyes. It's called a posterior vitreous detachment. What happens is this vitreous on the back of your eyeball toward your retina detaches as you grow older in some people, and it causes floaters, and they all just float around in there. And so that when you move your eye, all the floaters go too. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these snowball things. You got a Christmas scene, you shake it up and the snow starts falling. It's kind of like that with your eyes. When you move your eyes, stuff just kind of floats around in there. They're floaters. Now, I have good eyesight, but it's hard to see everything exactly the way you want to see it when you got these floaters floating around. So I found a doctor who lasers them. And I went to that doctor and I was having them lasered. And the doctor said something I'll never forget. He actually kind of yelled at me. He said, instead of focusing on the floaters, why don't you just focus on what you can see? And I thought to myself, well, wait a minute, I've come here to have him help me, and now he's yelling at me. But you know what? What he said was absolutely correct. I was kind of in self-pity because of all these floaters. He wasn't able to take them all away. I still have them, even today. But now, my challenges are making me a champion in terms of my attitude. Instead of just being in self-pity and focusing on my sickness, I look at the world. Yeah, they're still there, but I don't pay attention to them. I see the ocean and the stars and the flowers and the people. I don't let the afflictions and the challenges obscure my vision. And so some of you have some sicknesses, diseases, hardships in your life. Don't let them obscure your vision. Speaking of vision, I grew up in Feeding Hills, Massachusetts, little small town south of Springfield, right on the Connecticut border. Our claim to fame is a woman, and it's right in the town square. There's a statue of her. Her name is Ann Sullivan. She was born in Feeding Hills, Massachusetts. You've probably heard of her because she taught Helen Keller. Helen Keller was blind and deaf, and Ann Sullivan was her teacher who taught her language. How, talk about a challenge, how do you teach a blind and deaf person how to speak, how to communicate? So she did it. There was a breakthrough with using water. She finally broke through with the language. And Helen Keller, talk about facing her challenge. Helen Keller, even though she was blind and deaf, she wrote and published 12 books and many articles. Her challenges made her a champion. She didn't let her disablement and her, quote, handicap, her affliction of her eyes or her ears stop her. God had put a gift in her, and she used that gift. In one of her articles, it was called 3 Days to See, she said this, Helen Keller did, I who am blind can give one hint to those of you who can see. Use your eyes as if tomorrow you would be stricken blind. In other words, what was Helen Keller saying? She was saying, appreciate the fact that you can see. Look at life. Touch a rose. Smell the scent. Savor your life. And see, these are people with a different spirit. They don't just let their afflictions and their, quote, handicaps bring them down. They rise above. They face their challenges. They let the challenges stretch them and even make them better. Now, even though I've had panic attacks, I don't let it stop me. I haven't become a minister because of the panic attacks, but in spite of them, I still continue on. Yes, I get nervous when I'm in front of hundreds and thousands of people, but I don't let it stop me. And don't let your disablement stop you either. You can do it. You can go forward. I remember the story about my dad. You know, my dad taught me so much about attitude and how your challenges can make you a champion. My dad was in the Seabees in the Second World War. He was in the U.S. Navy. The Seabees are a building group. They are into construction. And they have a motto, and their motto is this. I love this. Can do. Can do. That's what I'm talking about here. Have a different spirit. Not I can't do it, but I can do it. I can face my challenges. I can overcome the adversities. And the rest of the motto goes like this. I love this. the difficult we do now, the impossible takes a little longer. And I think that's great. So, talk about vision. My dad had problems with his eyes too, and the problem that he had was this. He was probably 20 years old, 1920. He's in the Second World War. He's on board one of these big ships, and they're working on some molten metal, and as they're working on it, my dad's passing by, and a piece flies out, flies right in his eye. Totally healthy eye until that thing hit his eye, seared his pupils shut. He was honorably discharged from the Navy. Best laser surgeons tried to open up the eye. They couldn't do it. So what's my dad going to do? Go into self-pity? No. He had that different spirit. Remember, he was a CB, can do. The hard things we do now, the impossible takes a little longer. Well, Dad ended up continuing to use his talent as a carpenter. He continued as a carpenter when he got out of the military, and he raised a family, got married, raised three children. I'm the only boy, the third, the youngest. And I used to work with him. And I remember working with Dad. He would build these beautiful houses, and he would build room additions. He was a master craftsman. I've seen him build tabernacles and lecterns and altars with his hands. And I know because I used to work with him. And I remember one time asking Dad, Dad, what happened to your eye? And he told me the story about how that piece of metal flew in there. And I had to ask him because he never, ever complained about his eye. And I'm so proud of him because he became a carpenter with one eye. And not just a carpenter, as I said, a master craftsman. Did amazing work. I was so proud of him. And he taught me so much about challenges. He taught me so much about adversity. He taught me so much about attitude in the midst of it all. So I think about a woman. One time I was at a church and I was preaching, and I noticed a woman in a wheelchair sitting in the front pew. And I had seen her earlier in the parish office. She worked in the parish office. She was very involved. So I went over to her, and I thanked her for coming to the mission to hear me speak. And I said, you know, you're in a wheelchair. What happened to you? And she said, well, when my mother was pregnant with me, she had some type of a disease, and I caught that disease, and I was born disabled. But my mother taught me something, and she said, don't ever get into self-pity. Always be positive. And she said, I'm very involved. And I said, well, thank you so much for sharing that story, because you can see how active you are and how happy you are. And it's the same in everybody's life. For whatever reason, we all have adversity, whether it be a physical ailment, as I've been talking about, whether it be relationship problems or challenges of many different and varied types. And you can't let them overcome you. You have to be positive, have that different spirit. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you can face your adversities. One time I was preaching in New York, and I was giving a parish mission there, and I preached the best I could, and the mission ended, and the service ended, and I'm in the back shaking hands with people. And this young man came up to me, and I'll never forget, and he said, Father Cedric, he said, I've been watching you on TV. He said, I just got out of prison. And if you don't know this, my programs through TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, have been going into the prisons for many years now. And many people watch, and it's wonderful to be reaching out into the walls of the prison. So he said, I just got out of prison, and he said, you sent me a book called Challenges Make Champions. That's a book that I wrote talking about facing your adversities, facing your challenges, facing your hardships, and how you can do it. And you can overcome, and your challenges can make you a champion. So he said, I read that book, and he said, Father, it really touched my life. Then he rolled up his sleeve, and I'll never forget this. There, tattooed on his arm, was the title of that book, Challenges Make Champions. And you know what that tells me about that young man? In prison, facing those hardships, facing that adversity, he made a decision, just like Joshua made the decision when he came into the promised land. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua and Caleb, a different spirit. Well, he made a decision that his challenges weren't going to defeat him. His challenges were going to make him a champion. And I want that to be tattooed, not on your arm, but in your heart, that your challenges can make you a champion in terms of your attitude, in terms of your accomplishments, and that you can do it. Be strong. God lives within you. You're not the way the rest of the world is. You have a different spirit. So, wanted to leave you with a few sayings that I really love. Life isn't about waiting for the storms to stop. It's about learning to dance in the rain. A ship in a harbor is safe, but we were made for the wide open ocean. We can't direct the wind, but we can adjust the sails. We can't control the waves, but we can learn how to surf. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you.